be aware this meeting is being audio taped and videotaped. It's the License Commission agenda for Wednesday, October 18th, 2017, 3:06 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, Basement Conference Room. For you, the Commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti-Ferrer and Gerard Mahoney. First matter, cancellation hearing, the Elephant Walk Restaurant Group Incorporated, doing business as the Elephant Walk. Holder of a common victualler, all alcohol license linked to 2067 Mass Ave, pursuant to Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 64 and 77, for non-use of said license.
Elephant Walk?
Yeah, I'm here.
And before we start with this hearing, just as an announcement, anyone that's here for number 3, Anahid Mikardisian and Kahe Karguizian, I'm sorry, I probably butchered those names. If you're here for that, that's at 112C Inman Street. That case has been moved to December 6, 2017. Sorry, go ahead. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
My name is Gerard Lopez, G-E-R-A-R-D-L-O-P-E-Z.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. And you are the owner of this license?
Correct.
And last information I have is we had an informational hearing in February of this year, and your attorney at the time informed us that you and your attorney informed us you had a purchase and sale agreement and needed about 6 months. What happened?
Correct. Well, it didn't go through. Then we have three other buyers. We have the same situation. So we're currently trying to sell the business. That's where we are.
Okay, so you're still actively pursuing to sell the
Correct.
Business?
Correct.
Just as a point of clarification, the February hearing has been the only hearing we've had with regards to the non-use of the license.
Correct.
Do you have any questions?
I don't.
Okay. Do you know what your plans are in terms of renewals are coming up? Do you intend to renew the license if you're unable to sell it at this point?
Yes, I will.
Based on the information and it only being heard once for the informational hearing, I would propose having another cancellation hearing probably around February.
Fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
So cancellation hearing for non-use in February. And to be clear, February 2018.
Violation, Landscape Collaborative of New England, holder of leaf blower permit number 10039 due to alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.081.2A, operating during a prohibited period on August 30th, 2017 at 9:06 a.m. at 74 Spark Street.
So we actually got a waiver of hearing, so I don't anticipate anyone from Landscape Collaborative. No one's here to speak on Landscape Collaborative, correct? Nope. So they filed the waiver of hearing accepting the violations as alleged. So obviously I would find a violation and I would issue a $300 fine, and I will also say that they also have to pay the $300 fine that we said they wouldn't have to pay unless they had any violations between that time and September 15th, noting that this violation happened August 30th, so it did happen in that time.
I concur.
Okay. So violation, $300 fine, and $300 fine that was held in abeyance on August 16th has to also be paid for a total of $600.
Violation, Landscape Gardening and Design, holder of a leaf blower permit number 10018, due to alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.08128, operating during a prohibited time on July 19th, 2017 at 9.06 a.m. at 43 Appleton Street.
Landscape, gardening and design.
Stand and raise your right hand, please. Swear the testimony you're about to give, please, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, Cambridge License Commission Investigator.
Thank you.
Michael Hanlon, H-A-N-L-O-N.
Thank you, Mr. Hanlon. Go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you. Our office received an email from a complainant, Virginia Coleman, based stating that on July 19, 2017, that Michael Hanlon Landscape Gardening and Design was using a leaf blower at 43 Appleton Street, which is a violation of 8.16.08.12a, operating during a prohibited time period. A couple hours later, the owner of Appleton Street, 43 Appleton, called and stated that a neighbor is complaining about them having leaf blower usage on their property and wanted to know if leaf blowers can be used. I had stated to that woman, not at this time, because it was July. And while I was on the phone, the woman stated that the Hanlon Landscaping is their company. This leaf blower landscaping company has no previous violations that have been noted, but 43 Appleton property is stated as maintained on their application.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hanlon?
I have the letter that Virginia Coleman wrote, and she said that there was a guy using the leaf blower on the front steps, but on that day, I think it was on that day, the city was repairing all the sidewalks, and I'm not sure. My guys said they didn't use the blower on the steps or on the property, and it was a month after that I heard about it, and I don't know what to say. They said that they didn't do it. The city was, like I said, repairing the sidewalks and bringing the cement up to the sidewalk because their steps touch the sidewalk.
Okay.
And I haven't had a violation before.
In light of his testimony, the issue about the city doing work, is it conceivable that it was city employees or a contractor working for the city?
Yeah, I mean, could be. I mean, city does own leaf blowers. I think what's concerning here is that the property owner called that day and asked whether leaf blowers could be used or not, and the property owner was the one that Hanlon said.
She was called by somebody. She called me and said she was called by somebody. And she said...
I'm sorry, so do you know, was your crew working at that address that day?
Yes, they were.
They were, okay.
She called to see if can leaf blowers be used, and I said no.
Okay.
Because somebody called her and asked her...
So this person does not reside at this address?
Person who complained?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't.
Oh.
She lives on Berkeley Street.
No, we just had the homeowner also call
after
the fact.
I see.
But I agree with you. Based on the evidence before us today, I would find no violation.
Thank you.
No violation.
Application PPF Off 200 Cambridge Park Drive LLC, holder of a garage and farmhouse license at 200 Cambridge Park Drive, has applied to amend their license to include additional quantity of storage of 1,885 gallons of Class 1, 1,265 gallons of Class 2, 815 gallons of Class 3, and 251 cubic feet of gases.
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to ask that you either come into the room or step outside. You can't block the exit way. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon. Michael Domenico with King Street Properties. Domenico is spelled D-I-M-I-N-I-C-O. I'm here on behalf of the building owner.
Jonathan Eisenberg, E-I-S-E-N-B-E-R-G, representing King Street Properties.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. We're here before you today in regards to a flammable license for the building. 200 Cambridge Park Drive is a multi-tenant laboratory building right down the street from the LYT station. And the reason why we're here today is because we had a tenant that was previously occupying the top floors of the building that has since left. We have a new tenant that's coming in that has a higher quantity of flammable materials. So in our normal best practices of auditing the amount of materials that our tenants are using, we're here to request an amendment to our existing license to increase the quantities that are being held at the building. And we've engaged Arup as our code consultant, who's here to help answer any technical questions you might have.
Okay. I do see that you have all the sign-offs, including that of the chief. And this is just for, and was this on the fifth and sixth floor that's changing?
Correct.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Concur.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Application Colon Management Incorporated, doing business as AC Hotels by Marriott Cambridge, holder of an all alcohol and holder's license at 10 Acorn Park Drive, has applied for a change of manager to Mark Fisher.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record? Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Chief Mahoney. My name is James Rafferty. I'm an attorney with offices at 675 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. I'm appearing this evening on behalf of the licensee, Colwen Management, C-O-L-W-E-N. Seated to my right is Mark Fisher. Mr. Fisher is the proposed new general manager for the AC Marriott Hotel operated by Colwen Management.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, I note for the record that you've never been the manager on a liquor license before, is that correct?
No. He's been the general manager on several licenses, including the page 2 of the application, the in Copley Place, the three Kimpton hotels.
Okay, yep. But then on the questions, have you ever been the manager on a license issued by this commission? No.
Well, this commission...
Have you ever been the manager of record on a liquor license to sell alcoholic beverages? No.
Well, he's been a manager... Well, then that's an error when the... but all of those hotels had liquor, didn't they?
Correct. I was the general manager of the Onyx Hotel in Boston for 5 years. I was the holder of the liquor license there. I was the general manager of the Hotel Palomar in Atlanta for 2.5 years. I was the liquor license holder there, and the general manager of the Inc. Hotel in New York, New York, and I was also the liquor license holder there.
Okay, and the one for the Onyx here in Boston, were you the, when you say liquor license holder, do you mean manager of record?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Okay, so we'll just make a notation of that if we approve when we send it up to the ABCC, so that doesn't slow down the application.
So would you like us to so it would appear that the response no is incorrect on the.
Yes, but I don't think that the editing feature for the ABCC is yet open.
Okay.
So we can definitely make that notation. And since you've already answered about your experience.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's perfect. Are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board? Are you up to date with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sales, service of alcohol, and the running of an in-holder license?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
No question.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So granted, and just a notation to inform the ABCC that he has in fact been an approved manager of record.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Application, Bon Me Foods, LLC, doing business as Bon Me. Holder of a common victualer license at 60 Binney Street is applied to add malt-only beverages license at 7 Breath. Azamal Sayakbeva, as proposed manager of record, premise described as 2,097 square foot ground floor space, storage and food prep area.
Hold on, where are you? Did you skip Dip Dog?
Did I skip Dip Dog? I'm so sorry.
Sorry. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm so confused.
I'm so sorry. Application, Dip Dog Incorporated, doing business as Cafe Dupay, holder of a common victualer all alcohol license at 233 Cardinal Medeiros Avenue, has applied for a pledge of license to Murata Family Holdings, LLC, and an alteration of premise to, 1,600 square feet on the first floor with one entrance, two exits, two dining rooms, bar, kitchen, and bathrooms, 800 square feet in basement.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Sure. I'm John Shin, Shinn, and I'm one of the attorneys for Dip Dog.
Thank you.
John Kessen, Kessen. One of the partners of Dip Dog.
Thank you very much. All right, go ahead.
And we have, I have an affidavit notice to butters and others, as well as all the certified green slips. And here are notice of appearances for the record. On behalf of Dip Dog, otherwise known as Cafe Dupay, we've applied for an application to amend the liquor license to alter the premises, as well as a pledge of liquor license for a loan for that helped assist some of these alterations that are being done.
I had a question. We are, so based on the way the premise description reads now, it looks like you're separating it into two rooms, because right now we just have a room.
No, it's always been two rooms.
Okay.
An entryway, four stairs up to the upper level.
Oh, okay. Do you want to state your name for the record?
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay.
Rachel Miller Munzer.
How do I spell the second part of your last name?
Two words, M-I-L-L-E-R space
yep.
M-U-N-Z-E-R. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so that's why there's no change in capacity, correct? Okay. So I guess I'm a little confused as to what exactly is the amendment. The only thing that I saw new, quote unquote, was that dining room, the specification that it was now two dining rooms and a bar.
It's that's not accurate. The bathroom is the change. The physical bar moved upstairs,
The
four stairs, and the accessible bathrooms were changed.
Okay, but the bar moved places?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because otherwise, if you were just changing the bathrooms, I was confused as to why you were here. Okay. And then the bathrooms are being made accessible, I saw.
One is accessible, yes.
Any questions?
Nope.
Anything else?
Nothing further.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote for it.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great. Glad I came.
You wanted to say hello.
I did. I called Chris today because I missed him so much. See you in a month.
Let's try this again. Application, Bon Me Foods, LLC, doing business as Bon Me, holder of a common victualer license at 60 Binney Street, has applied to add malt-only beverage license at said address. I'm going to mess up this name again. Azamal Sayakbeva?
Yep.
As the proposed manager of record of a premise described as 2,097 square foot ground floor space, storage and food prep area, customer queuing and seating space, and restrooms. 600 square foot outdoor seating on private property. Proposed seating capacity of 45 inside and 48 seasonal patio seats on private property. Proposed hours of 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. all days.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Michael Feeney, F-E-E-N-E-Y. To my right is Patrick Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H. I'm the operations manager of Bon Me Foods LLC, and Patrick is the CEO of the company and the managing member of the LLC.
Where's the proposed manager of record?
She is at the restaurant right now.
Okay, so we're going to give you a second call. Can you have her come in? Because we have
sure.
specific questions for her as the proposed manager of record.
Sure.
Okay?
Thank you.
Second call. Also, did they provide the money? Also, did you bring the check for the hearing fee and the court?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Excellent. Application, John Harvard, LLC, has applied for an open-air parking lot license at 1-3 Langdon Street for 21 parking spaces.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Walter Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N, on behalf of John Harvard, LLC. With me is the president of Chestnut Hill Realty Trust, the management company for the property, Peter Porras, P-O-R-A-S.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. A couple of things before we get into the application. We are moving into an electronic system, so I need an email address to which to tie this license. So will it be John Harvard LLC email address, or will it be Mr. Porras' email address?
It's mine, Mr. Porras.
Okay. So I'm going to send this back to you, and then just right there next to his name, where the email spot is, if you could put your email address, that would be
great. Oh, I apologize.
Great.
I thought we included that.
Nope. That would be great, thank you. All right. Okay, you may start.
Madam Chairwoman, I don't know if you remember, we were here last year on a number of parking lots on Langdon Street, Langdon Square, including, we didn't come forward on this particular parking lot. All of these buildings were built in the 20s, 30s, and the parking pre-existed the parking lot zoning ordinance. With regard to 1-3 Langdon Street, the reason why we did not come forward at that time to license the parking spaces is that property was subject to a special permit that was allowed to put basement units in it. As part of that, it was to redesign the current parking spaces to allow for 12, to remove two spaces and to allow for 12 long storage bike storage facilities. As I was looking at the properties and the bike storage, it comes straight out onto Massachusetts Avenue. The day we went to look at it, there happened to be someone killed up in Porter Square. We went back to the city, went back to the community development office and saying, you know, we really have an issue with bikes coming onto Mass Avenue. It's a very small sidewalk. So during that process, we continued the conversation. We moved the bike storage facility to the building next door at 15 Langdon Street, which is commonly owned. So now we're back before you seeking a license for parking spaces that have been there since prior to the zoning ordinance. And we're just trying to straighten out all the issues of what's licensed and what isn't.
Okay. And this, and again, like the other Langdon ones, this is just for the residents, correct? This
yes, parking. It's just used for the residents.
Can I have that application back?
Oh, yes.
Do you have any questions?
I just wondered, is there a map or plot plan? There is a map.
Yes, attached to it is there's a whole bunch of documents, and the last one is the design of the bike storage facility that's going at 15.
Okay.
I should note that during this process of special permitting, where there was issue of trash that we've been trying to work on, I know one of the abutters is here concerned about the trash issue. We've been talking to him. The barrels are along the fence, and we're still trying to work that out. But the barrels are all covered tightly, but we're still trying to work that out.
Okay.
And the access to the parking spaces is directly off of Massachusetts.
Right off of Mass Avenue. And that becomes, to give you an example why it's an issue, is these explain the photos of the parking spaces and why bikes shouldn't be coming on and off Mass Avenue. The day I was there, I actually talked to a police officer who was up at the bike accident scene, and he wouldn't ride his bikes on Mass Avenue, and neighbors around there would not deal with Mass Avenue. So we thought it was a much better idea to relocate the bike storage facility to a place that brings the bikes out onto Langdon Street, mm-hmm. And make it a much safer. And the bike storage facilities are going to be lockers, 12 lockers that will allow people to store their bikes individually.
Okay. And this is for everyone at Langdon, the
yes.
bike storage?
Yes.
So is this a common area, lock common area, or?
They're individual lockers.
Or you mean like outside?
Yeah.
Well, they secure them to like a ballad type device?
Yeah, I'll show you. These are what the lockers look like. It actually gives individual versus having a shed or something.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Sir, if you want to come up, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
I don't know whether I'm in favor or opposition.
Okay, fair enough.
Why?
If you want to take a
sure.
seat, that's fine.
Okay.
And if you want to tell us your name.
Yeah, my name is Gordon Moore. I live at 9 Rutland Street in Cambridge, and I'm an abutter to the parking lot. And I want to comment. My concern is that there be space for managing the trash, as was mentioned, and I do want to say that the company and the individuals who are on site have been really quite good to work with, but we don't yet have an agreement or a solution to the problem that I'm going to tell you about right now.
Okay. Before you continue,
yeah.
Moore, M-O-O-R-E?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The trash recyclables has been with the they received a permit to develop more rental spaces in the building, and I assume that because of the increased capacity, they moved the recyclables outside. So an entire quarter of the perimeter of the parking lot now is, I think, 13 or 14 barrels, covered barrels, but they regularly overflow. And I've had to call on multiple occasions, and they've been very helpful in taking care of that, but nevertheless, it appears to me as though there is not adequate capacity, and many times there are boxes on the edge of the parking lot outside of the disposal barrels. And I've had a number of conversations. I think they're aware of the problem and want to try to solve the problem, but I'm concerned about giving all of these spaces and then making it impossible to find a way to solve the problem later on of creating adequate recyclable trash. And I'm wondering whether there is some way that we can get a more binding agreement that problem is going to be solved. I'm very much in favor of giving them the parking spaces, which have been there for many. We've lived in that area since 1976, and as I said, they're good neighbors, and I'd like to try to solve this, but I'd like something more than just a sort of what, yeah, we think there's a problem, and we'll take care of it in the future.
I mean, just to, you know, and we are working with Mr. Moore trying to solve the issue. Just to deal with the issue of what, these were all pre-existing parking spaces, so they're not subject to the ordinance, and gives the city limited as to some respects what they can do. But we are working with Mr. Moore in trying to address it, and it's just really probably trying to get people, because it's not the barrels themselves, it's how they're being used, correct?
Yeah, except that I don't think the barrels now fill the entire side, and they overflow, so I'm assuming that there is a capacity issue of some sort, and you don't have more room for more barrels.
I think that's a management issue of being able to manage the trash better versus the barrels themselves, correct?
I don't understand your question.
The problem is managing the trash versus the barrels themselves.
It would be nice if the trash stayed in the barrels. If that's managing the barrels, then I'm all for it.
So this photo is, are these the barrels in question?
Yes.
On that.
Oh, can you just make Mr. Moore sees that?
Yeah. So just to make sure. What I wanted to know was, what is this space representative of your property?
Okay, so that space that you're seeing there, these photos that we have are dealing with community development. That is 15 Langdon Street.
Okay.
That's where the 12 storage bikes are going.
I see.
And what's going to happen is that they're going to, I don't know if you have a book. So the way the bikes are going to work is that they're going to, they can enter the bikes through the back door of 1 to 3 Langdon Street. But in order to use their bikes, they actually have to exit at 17 Langdon Street parking space. So we're trying to push them onto Langdon Street.
As opposed to
Mass Avenue. I mean, as you can tell from the photos, that sidewalk between the building is just, someone's going to get hit with the cars parked there. It causes a nightmare.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then, I mean, I understand, Mr. Moore, what your concern is. Unfortunately, it has no bearing in terms of this particular license that they're here for, but I am interested, Mr. Porras, in what steps is Chestnut Realty taking to ensure, I mean, are you guys increasing the time in which you empty these barrels?
Well, that's certainly one of the options is to look at that and also look at the other opportunities we might have for moving them. So there's a bunch of issues that are being looked at to address this problem.
Okay.
At this point, that's in progress as we speak.
Yeah.
And as we sit here.
Walter alluded to that in his presentation.
Beforehand.
Do you have space to do a single larger collection area?
That's again one of the options, and certainly we're looking at that as a possibility. But we're looking at managing the better, the quantity, the frequency with which we're dealing with it. So all those are on the table.
And
let's put it that way.
Are you required to have all of the spaces that you've requested by the prior agreement, or could you set aside one space until this matter is settled?
Well, I think the parking space has always existed, so all we're doing is meeting the requirements of registering them and licensing them. So the question of getting rid of one or not, that's really something.
I think you're misunderstanding my point, and that is that the garbage wasn't out there before, and I'd be happy if the garbage had stayed inside the building. It's now outside
the
building.
But
I'm worried that that the only space that's available might be the kind of space that you would put. Harvard has a very good way of handling the trash with large collection bins, that if you get approval for the spaces, that there would be no room for, you'd be cutting out on what I think is a good option.
Okay, why don't we do this? You have your contact info after this hearing.
Yes.
Please exchange contact information with Mr. Moore, and then you can keep him abreast of what you're doing in terms of the trash, and certainly please reach out if there's any issues. Anyone else care to speak on this application? Opposition or support? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May we keep all of these attachments?
Yes.
Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant this application.
Concur.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, holder of a garage and flammable license at 32 Vassar Street, has applied to amend their existing license to add an additional 136 parking spaces and 1,360 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
My name is Kelly Brown. It's spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y, Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
Thank you. And Mr. Brown, you are?
I'm a senior campus planner at MIT.
Thank you. These parking spaces, who's going to be using them?
MIT parking permit holders who are almost exclusively staff and faculty of MIT.
Okay. And there's no charge for these, like, in terms of, like, this is not a garage.
It's not open to the public on a fee basis, no.
This is status on a resume?
It is. I'd be happy to explain any of this, but I don't know what's of interest, so just let me know.
I have nothing.
All right, anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Was it granted? Granted.
Great.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Application, Highgate Hotel, Delphi, doing business as Courtyard Boston, Cambridge, holder of an all-alcohol and holder's license at 777 Memorial Drive, has applied for a change of manager from Robert Rosenblatt to Lindsay Samuel. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Lindsay Samuel. Last name is S-A-M-U-E-L-S.
And Lindsay L-I-S-E-Y? Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Samuel, I note that that you respond that you've never been the manager of record on liquor license before, is
correct.
That correct? Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the food and beverage industry?
Sure. So I've actually been in hotels since I was 18, 19 years old. I worked in for Hyatt for about 9 years, so all full-service hotels. I've run, I'm not sure if you're ever been in a Hyatt, but Regency Clubs, which are lounges that serve alcohol, but also small bites for some of their premier members. So I've done that within Hyatt over the years. I was always a manager on duty, so at nighttime you're running the hotel, you're involved in food and beverage, the front desk, a lot of everything. Basically, you have to learn it all. And then at this particular hotel, I've been here since April on and off. So it's called task forcing. So basically, my home base was in Arlington, Virginia. But I was here for about 3 months and then officially came on there at the end of June. But I've been managing their food and beverage department since I got here.
Okay. And are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, DABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sales service of alcohol?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you also familiar with the running of an inholder license in Massachusetts?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
Are you TIPS or 21 proof certified or have any other type of certification for alcohol service?
I am not personally, but I do not serve either.
Okay.
We do TEPA.
But you will need, according to our rules, you will need to either get 21 proof certified or TIPS certified or one of those safe serve type of certifications prior to being approved or prior to contingent.
Yes.
It would be contingent, your approval, upon you completing that. And then will you be the manager in general for the hotel as well?
So yes, it's me, and then we do have a general manager above me, but yes, I will be the hotel manager.
I only ask because there's also an entertainment license. I would assume we're making you the manager of that license as well?
Yes, I actually, over the last couple weeks, have registered for a couple different licenses on the website, so our market and things of that sort. So yes, I think we're in the process of kind of moving everything over. We changed ownership as of June 30th as well, so some of that's still getting moved.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll just make the notation that this will be across all the licenses that we issue as to your hotel.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Is that prior to Sage property prior?
No. So it was still managed by Highgate. Highgate officially bought it as of June 30th. So.
Any other questions?
I have none.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant, and just make sure that you get your certification before the ABCC's final approval comes in.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that by attorney according to McCabe's needs to show that's her client?
I don't have him in for a.
They're not on the working list. Okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know what that's for. Oh, to change the entertainment license? No.
He doesn't need to be here.
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Application: Wholesome Fresh Mass Corp. Doing business as Hello Fresh. Has applied for a common victualer license at 60 Church Street with a seating capacity of 20 and proposed hours of 24 hours per day. Chris Shaw, proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 5,195 square feet on the ground floor with two entrances, 1,500 plus or minus square foot kitchen.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman, Chief Mahoney, Attorney Sean Hope, Hope Legal Law Offices, H-O-P-E. I'm here with the manager, Chris Cha. Chris Cha. You spell your name for the record?
Yes. My name is Chris Cha. It's Chris C-H-R-S. Last name is C-H-A.
Okay. My name is Mark Kim. M-A-R-K-K-I-M.
Thank you.
Yes, and this is an application requesting a common victualer license at 60 Church Street. This is a food retail use. This is a use that's been there for a previous use of a similar food retail use for about 10 years. This is going to be a very similar, same use, but same layout. They're going to have the 20 seats, so there's almost no change to the interior of the space. This is proposed to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One of the benefits of this location is that they are providing fresh fruits and different offerings that are not readily available in Harvard Square. There is a small cafe component to it, but this is the food retail use. And these are experienced operators. They have another location in Providence, Rhode Island, and so they have both been in this industry for about 20 years. And looking forward to opening at this location.
Okay. Mr. Kim, are you an owner?
I'm the vice president.
Okay. And then Christine Yu is the
owner.
Is the owner. Okay. This is where we have Church Street Market, correct?
Yes.
Is it the same space?
It's the same space. They are have the previous CV there. There is a representative from the landlord here to, if the commission wants to know about anything in particular. There is and you may be referring to a package license that's in that, or is it just the existing CV?
Well, we have it as a package store and a CV at that location. I was wondering, one, where's the alcohol? Is it gone? I mean, what's in the space right now? Because we have it licensed and we have it. We had no information that Church Street Market wasn't open or operating. Or is it open and operating? I don't know. I guess that's my question.
So it's my understanding that it is open and operating. There is a representative of the landlord that could speak more in more detail. But what I do know is that there was a judgment issued for possession at that location. Against the previous or the current CV holder. The liquor license is something separate, and obviously they couldn't be a new package for license until that was either removed, revoked, or transferred. So the landlord has possession. This applicant, we have a lease, and we are applying for a CV to open at that location.
Okay, so the landlord has possession of the premises, which is why you guys then have a lease.
Yes?
Yes, and the lease, all the information, the financial information, has been edited. Can you tell me why?
Just for privacy reasons. I think all the pertinent details are there, but in terms of just having the economics of the lease, wanting to keep that confidential.
I think that's quite odd, since this is the first time I see something like this before us, quite frankly.
Yeah. I can't speak, but I do know when there is a case of ongoing litigation, I know those are public records. I didn't think for the CV license that the actual financial arrangements between this licensee would be something that would be of interest to the commission. And in fact, the actual economics were in the part of the initial submission, and I did request at the request of the landlord to keep that confidential. But we're happy to submit those financials to the commission if they were requested, but I didn't think that was something we'd want in the file ongoing.
Well, I'll think about that only because it shocked me to see it that way, and I didn't know particularly why exactly certain information was being blocked out, and then the fact that we had another store there is just, I'm just trying to digest everything.
Yes.
Okay, and then, I'm sorry, maybe the landlord can come up because Mr. Pope keeps batting my questions. Could you please state and spell your name for the record? He can say, just take
sure,
that chair and move it back.
My name's Phil Cunningham, P-H-I-L. My last name's Cunningham, C-U-N-N-I-N-G-H-A-M.
Thank you. And Mr. Cunningham, is Church Street Market there right now?
It is there and it's currently operating. And so what I have here, and I'm happy to provide you with a copy, is a judgment for execution for possession. So we have the right to go in there and possess it.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, not yet done that, and that's, we've not yet done that, but we're here to, you know, we have a lease, and we're here to get approval for the CBA license. And separate apart from that is the packaged good license, and we're not requesting anything on that right now. We anticipate that at some point later we may be, but for right now it's just pretty much the same. It's the same use as what's currently there, minus the beer.
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to see something here quickly. Are you 45 Brattle Street Trust?
45 Brattle Street Realty Trust, yeah.
Okay. So you do have a pledge on the liquor license?
We do.
Okay. But you haven't executed your rights on that pledge?
We have not.
Okay. And you have a judgment that allows you to evict Church Street Market, but you haven't evicted them yet?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Back to you guys. Can you tell me, can you tell me a little bit about what you're proposing in terms of your operation? Because you are proposing a 24-hour day operation, everything else. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's the food retail use, and if you look at the floor plan, there are a series of food goods that are essentially lined in the rear of the store. There is also a small cafe where you can have coffee, and there's some limited fresh fruits and prepared foods. And the seating is oriented toward the front of the store, so that, you know, that there's tables, a total of 20 seats. But it's food retail, so you have everything from cookies and cheeses to different types of foods. Because of the nature of Harvard Square being really a 24-hour destination, there's been this idea that they could provide what is really not being offered around the clock. And so
So that use has been there for about 12 years, just a couple months short of 12 years. And over that entire time period, it's been 24 hours, 7 days a week. I believe, for certainly in recent, for the last several years, it's been 24 hours. I don't know from day one, but for the last several years, it's been 24 hours, 7 days a week.
So the operation, the proposed operation, is not going to be much different at all from the current operation.
That's right.
Do you have a timeline on the execution of your judgment?
I don't. We've tried to work with the tenant that's there to make it as smooth as possible. He has not been particularly responsive, so we have the execution, and we've been in touch with the sort of appropriate authorities to figure out what that track is. You know, with the hope and expectation that we don't need to go down that formal route, but that's takes two to tango.
Go ahead.
And what, if anything, needs to be done to the space for your clients to begin operation?
My understanding that it's not much. I suspect they'll clean it up and paint carpet and look at some of the equipment and replace what's there, but I don't, at this stage, I haven't seen any plans, and my expectation is that it will.
You don't envision like walls moving and things?
No, it's not that. That would be hard to do. It's just big concrete walls that are running.
And also the petitioner here understands that if there was a change in premises, we'd have to come back before the commission if there was anything material. So there are a series of shelves that could move, but nothing that would require building permit or an alteration of premises.
Okay.
And is there an intent to have liquor at this place at some point?
There is. I think keeping with the idea of keeping the same concept, they would like to have a package license similar to what's on premises now, either a transfer from the existing licensee, or if there's another license that would be available, we would be applying for that.
Okay.
I have one point of clarification. So I think there was a Scrivener's error. So on the DBA, the DBA should be Wholesome Fresh, and it was listed as Hello Fresh.
Why don't you put it on the application? Because I actually had to have that because you don't have anything.
I have the DBA.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. Quite frankly, I think the application's a little premature. I think until the other tenants, I don't think we can license two places with the same type of license at the same location during the same time. The Church Street license is still active. Based on the information before us, they're still operating. So it's not like the licensee left and never told us and we can cancel it. So I think this application is a little premature at this point. I would defer our vote on it.
I have one more question for you, sir. How long ago was the judgment handed down?
I think we were in court a week or two ago.
Okay.
We just got the judgment issued, and quite frankly, we would have been executing more forthwith. It's just there's a certain, we can't do this. You need a sheriff to go and take care of it.
I get it.
And that's, so I guess I understand. I guess my request, if you feel that way, would be to make it contingent upon possession. And so we give.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable making that determination at this point. I also, like I said, I've never seen a lease like this in terms of something, and quite frankly, I don't know that a lease like this is active when there's another lease ongoing at the same time. I don't know. This is a lot for me to digest right now and to vote off the cuff. I'm not ready to do so, but I can tell you that my first instinct is that this application's a little premature. I understand the legalities of executing a judgment, and I understand that you're trying to work with the tenant, and I actually appreciate that just as a general person, and I think that's really good business and very considerate of you in terms of executing a judgment, but at the same time, I wouldn't vote on this application at this time. I would defer it, which means that I think that there is probably that this application will go forward, and my vote will be, a grant in the future, because otherwise if I were just to deny it, I would deny it now, but I am not ready to grant it at this point, and so I would defer my vote. Okay, deferred. Thank you.
Can I just ask, practically speaking, what are next steps then if you defer?
So once, what I would suggest is once the Church Street Market is out of the premises, Mr. Hope reached back out to us and informed us of that information. Between now and then, I will do the exercise of reviewing the lease and sort of digesting this blackout lease that I've never seen before in my life for an application of this nature. And if there is something else that the board needs or that I suggest that the board may require, I'll bring it back to a hearing at the administrative board. We'll vote on it, and then we'll certainly tell Mr. Hope and you guys. I'm obviously are in communication, so.
So it really is the taking possession and physically going in with a sheriff would be the trigger versus some other arrangement that they may want to
vacating the premises. Right?
Well, I think right now you have a license that's being, there's nothing, we can't act like the court, and we can't do the job of executing that eviction notice for you guys. And if we were to grant this, that's what we would essentially be doing.
Well, so I guess, I'm trying to understand what the difference would be between what you're saying and what if I knew that someone was going to be up January 1st and I came in here for a CB application and it was literally, imagine it was a sale of a business and I was selling it to somebody and I said, geez, I just want the CB license operator.
I think we voted.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application Henry.
No, let's go back. Let's skip the second call here. So.
On me?
Oh no. We're going back to Bon Me Food.
Number 8.
Yep. All right. And just for the record, again, we have. Let's see if I have this right. Michael Feeney.
That's me.
Okay, and Patrick Lynch.
Yep.
And your name, please.
I'm Jamal Sayagbaeva. It's A-Y-Z-H-A-M-A-L. Last name is S-A-Y-A-K-B-A-E-V-A.
Thank you very much. Okay, so this particular location hasn't been open. It's actually only been around since August of this year, correct?
Right. We came here to get the CV license in August, and we've been open for just over a week. And we are looking to add beer as a complement to our food. We feel that we, as you may know, we haven't served alcohol at yep. locations in the past, but the area around 60 Binney Street has an ever-increasing population of office and lab workers and relatively few restaurants, and we feel that we're uniquely poised to offer an affordable, healthy option for people to have a dinner and a beer after work.
I don't think anyone has ever described beer as healthy. Kudos to you.
Maybe not here, but I've heard people do.
Okay, I guess I was a little confused because I reviewed your file and then I saw that, you know, that we approved this in August. At the time of the application, you said that you weren't going to seek an alcohol license, and here we are a few months down the line. So I guess my question was, what changed between now and then, and what really is the public need for this license at this location?
So,
which I think you just kind of answered, but yeah, if you expand a little bit on it.
As I say, why we didn't apply for it initially is it hasn't been part of our concept in the past, taking a look at the area, there are relatively few options for affordable place to have dinner and a drink after work. We think there's a demand for it, and we feel that we can we'll feature a few local breweries and suggest menu pairings for the beers we offer. So the focus will really remain on the food, but we think that beer is a nice complement to our food and a way to enhance the customer's experience.
Okay. I'm not even going to try to say your name because I hate when people butcher my name and I want to be respectful, but you've never been the manager of Reckon-Owned Liquor License before, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And other than working at Bombay, do you have any experience in terms of serving alcohol as part of your job?
No, I did not.
Okay. Are you certified, TIPS certified, 21 proof?
I took the 21 proof class last week.
Okay.
And I had all of my supervisors who are going to be present when I'm not there take the class with me.
Okay.
And they're the ones, so all of us who took the class would be the ones who would be handling alcohol at all times.
Okay. And you're not changing the space at all, correct?
We are not.
So how exactly is the service going to happen? Is this all going to be behind the counter type service? Or?
Right. So customers will order at the counter. During the lunch rush in the middle of the day, where there's probably not a lot of beer sales anyway, customers will pick up their order at the counter. Later on, when it's a little less busy in the evening, people want to stay around a little longer. Customers will order at the counter, and then employees will bring the food and drink to their table when it's ready.
Okay. So you do know then that anyone that's working that register behind that counter also needs to be 21 proof or TIP certified or one of those types of certifications?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And your hours are not changing from your current operation or anything, correct?
So our hours are not changing. The CV that was issued, the no alcohol CV, shows 10:30 to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. I see on the hearing agenda that the closing hour is displayed at 8, but we want it to remain as 9.
Okay, so the same hours. Hold on. I have two files here if I know. Okay, you know why? I think because we changed your hours at the hearing.
We
and
did.
The person that did the agenda did it off your current application, your CV application. Okay. So just to confirm, the hours are 10:30 a.m. to 9 p.m.?
Correct.
7 days a week?
Correct. And one last thing I wanted to address, the issue of an entertainment license.
Yep.
We would like to be able to play background music below conversation level.
Okay.
And if it's possible to amend the license at this point to allow
it
us
sure
to do that.
It sure is.
Okay.
It'll make it easier for us too, just doing it here at the hearing rather than having you fill out something after the fact. So thank you for bringing that up. Okay. So. And then the seating occupancy is the same thing, 45 inside. Are you planning to serve alcohol outside?
So we would like to be able to serve outside.
Okay.
What we will do is we'll separate the outdoor patio area, which is privately owned, leased by us. We'll separate it from the sidewalk with stanchions and rope, so that there's a clear separation. And if you're familiar with the building, the storefront is all glass, so our employees, when they're inside, will have a clear view of the outside and be able to monitor what's going on out there.
Okay. So 45 seats inside and 48 outside, yes?
Correct.
That remained as is, yes. Okay. So you are familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Absolutely.
Question? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, so I would vote to grant with a reflection that the hours of operation would be the same as the ones that we had approved for the CV, which are 10:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. And everything else seems to be in order. So I would vote to grant as it.
Granted.
Okay. Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
It's just the notification
stuff. Oh, and the checks. You brought the checks.
Yes. Does the entertainment license change the...
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. World? And with the request of entertainment license with background music below conversation level. You will grant it. You will receive a letter with everything, explaining everything to next steps, including ABCC approvals and all that jazz. Okay? Thank you. I'll keep talking so you don't have to talk. Number 13, Henry A. Sisco Jr. Has applied for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license. It is 4:10 p.m. This was scheduled for 3 p.m. and we will give it a second call, but note for the record that no one has shown up. Moving on to the administrative hearings. Let me just give a quick shout out. Okay, Ms. Blair, are you here for something in particular?
No.
Okay. Cambridge Center East Garage, holder of license number GAR101210, has applied for a change to their existing license to reduce the number of parking spaces from 824, which is a reduction of 39 spaces. Granted. Stellar Restaurant Group DBA Bologo, holder of an entertainment and common victual license at 71 Mount Auburn Street, has notified the board that they have ceased operating and they have closed. So board acknowledges canceled license and closed file. Coffee Company LLC, DBA Intrepid Cafe, holder of a common victual license and an entertainment license, has applied to amend their hours, and basically what they're looking to do is to stay closed until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and close on Saturdays and Sunday. Granted. Samantha Lombardo, on behalf of Jean Brooks Landscapes, holder of a leaf blower permit, has applied a waiver for a disciplinary hearing for violation of 816081.2A, operating during a prohibited time period on September 1st. Now, Ms. Lombardo actually sent us a significant number of things, including all of the materials that they give their employees in terms of how they train them, all the information. She apologized profusely for the violation. I would vote to issue a violation and a $300 fine to be held in abeyance for a year in consideration of everything that she submitted.
Concur.
Okay. So violation, $300 fine to be held in abeyance for 1 year. If no violations, they don't have to pay that fine. Ben Lavery, on behalf of Mitimco, has applied for an extension to a special noise variance until December 31st from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. This is at work that they're doing at 25 Harvard Street. We had originally granted it from April 18th through October 30th. They are looking to expand it because of delays caused by Eversource. It appears that all of the other internal departments that review have no issue with the extension. I would vote to grant, but I would also vote that this needs to be treated as a new variance and they need to submit the fee.
Okay.
Okay. So granted, and noise variance fee to be submitted. Kaju Tofu and Shabu Shabu, holder of an liquor license and a CV license, has notified that they have closed. I say we board acknowledge. They did state that they were in the process of trying to transfer the license. Considering that we're entering renewal season, I would say that we put an informational hearing for non-use if a transfer application doesn't come in February.
Good.
Okay. Cambridge Redevelopment Authority has notified us of some changes for the Third and Binney vending program as to the schedule on Mondays, and I'm calling this one together with item number 11.
Okay.
Monday, Chicken and Rice Guys, which is the 11 request.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to clump them all in. and Phoenix Grill. Tuesday, Penny Packers and Mr. Tamoli. Wednesday, Northeast of the Border and Maymay Street Kitchen. Thursdays, Brody's Diner and Rhythm and Wraps. Friday, Northeast of the Border and Scheherazade Food Inc. This is through November 24th of this year. I would acknowledge and approve all of them and make the changes on all of the peddler's license, except for Phoenix Grill. I would actually deny it as to Phoenix Grill. They have, even though they have been approved for a peddler's license, they've never paid for it, and they haven't picked it up or anything of that nature. So they don't have a peddler's license, so I would deny it as to them. But I would make a contingent upon if they do pick up the license that they could get it. And then Tamoli, I would also deny it at this point, as they also owe fees to the city, and again make a contingent upon them making good of that. And then if so, I would approve it as to them as well.
I would concur.
Okay. So approve this to all. Except Phoenix Grill and Tamoli. If they pay past due fees. Pick up licenses. And approved. Okay. Couscous Kitchen, holder of peddler license at 77 Mass Ave, is requesting to change their existing license to operate, instead of 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They owe traffic and parking some money, so I would deny at this time the contingent, you know, but I would grant it if they pay traffic and parking. I don't know if you want to do granted conditional on. Yeah.
I would concur.
Should we make it granted conditional on payment to traffic and parking, or deny it and then grant it if they pay?
I would deny it and then grant it if it's paid.
Okay. So denied, and then provide proof of payment. Traffic and parking, then grant. Okay. Catalyst Restaurant is requesting for a change in their existing entertainment license to add one TV at the bar. Granted. Flat Top Johnny's has applied for a change to their entertainment license. They are decreasing by 2 pool tables. They are adding one TV. They are adding 6 video games, and they are removing the dart boards. Granted. McCabe's Porter LLC is requesting a change to their existing entertainment license to include 2 video games and 2 dart boards and 8 TVs, which is an increase in terms of TVs and the dart boards and the game boards.
Okay.
Renton. Okay. Ryan Wittig, on behalf of 33 Kinnaird Street, has filed a waiver of disciplinary hearing for alleged violations of Cambridge Municipal Code 816-081-F1, working prior to 9 a.m. on a Saturday, July 2017. And then working on Sunday, August 20th, prior to 9 a.m. and without a Sunday permit. Now, Ms. Chief Investigator Boyer presented us a history of the violations, or a history of this case. In her history, Ms. Boyer explains that this company, there were other noise complaints from the residents regarding the generators used and everything else. I would just make her report part of the record.
Okay.
Just let me know when you're finished reading it.
Yep.
Okay. Based on Ms. Boyer's report, also based on the fact that the police actually had to respond to the premises on July 8th as well as August 20th, And on August 20th, they actually went back twice and had to, I would issue a violation for the Saturday, July 8th, working before the time. And then for Sunday, I would issue a violation for, again, working before the 9 a.m. and without a Sunday permit for $300 each, for a total of $900.
I would concur.
Okay. So violation on three counts, $300 fine for each, total fine of $900. Check Race LLC, DBA Lord Hobo at 92 Hampshire Street is requesting to amend their entertainment license so that they can have three TVs. Granted. And Flying Toad, DBA Cambridge Common at 1667 Mass Ave, requesting to change the number of TVs from 9 to 11. Granted. And now moving on to one-day licenses. Rachel Rocha-Burton from Malt and Wine License at the New Bank Complex on October 28th, November 4th, November 11th, 18th, December 1st, December 9th from 7 to 11 p.m. And then on October 29th, November 5th, 12th, 19th, and December 10th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. for dance concerts. I would grant as to all.
Granted.
Deborah Levy has applied for an alcohol license, an all alcohol license, to be exercised at Sonia's on 10 Brookline Street on October 28th, 2017, from 4 to 9 p.m. for a wedding. Expected attendance 150. I would deny this. We cannot issue this license pursuant to Chapter 138.
Okay.
So denied. Quantum Way has applied for a malt and wine license to be exercised at MIT Wong Auditorium on November 6th from 5 to 7 and on November 7th from 4 to 6 for a networking event. Granted, police detail required. Colin Henry, on behalf of Racewire LLC, has applied for a malt license to be exercised at Forest Street on October 29th from 6 a.m. to 12 for a road race. So they cannot serve alcohol at 6 a.m. This went through special events. They also have an admission charge, but they're going to give the alcohol away. I'm assuming it's for the racers. So the only way I would grant this license is granted for, it's October 29th, a Sunday?
I believe so. Let me check.
Yes. Okay, so I would grant it 10 a.m. to 12, with the police detail required as requested by Sergeant Lopes, and then that the alcohol must be sold or there must be a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge.
I concur.
Okay.
Just for clarification, the 6 a.m. time was set up.
But this is an alcohol license.
No, I understand that, but they understood that they were told that they could not serve at that hour.
Are they requesting an entertainment license? Oh, yes, they are, which is not on the agenda, but they're also requesting an entertainment
afterwards, yes.
License for amplification. So in terms of the amplification license, 6 a.m. to 12, granted what the police detail required. With regard to the alcohol license, granted with modifications. Police detail required, alcohol must be sold or there must be a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge, and the hours are 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Andrew Fisher, on behalf of Briar Group, has applied for a malt and wine one-day license to be exercised at Glass House at 450 Kendall on October 29th from 11 to 4 for lunch. Granted, this is contiguous to a license permit, so it's issued as a 138 section 14, but with no license fee. Elizabeth Cohen has applied for an all-alcohol license to be exercised at WeWork on October 25th from 3:30 to 5:30 for a marketing event. It is a closed-to-the-public event. Granted, as requested. Phillips Chavez has applied for a malt and wine license at St. Anthony's Parish on November 11th from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. for a religious feast with dancing and recorded music. And he has three of those. One is on the 18th and the other one on December 31st. I would grant as to all with the police detail required.
Concur.
Erica Gauthier has a Peter Musi has applied for a malt and wine license at the Sala de Puerto Rico on October 20th from 6 to 8:30 for a banquet. Granted, police detail required.
Correct.
Amy Poftak has applied for a malt and wine license to be exercised at Work Bar on November 6th from 6 to 8. Granted, the alcohol must be sold, or in the alternative, there must be a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge.
Okay.
Erica Gauthier has applied for a malt and wine license at Novartis on October 18th from 4:30 to 6. Granted.
Okay.
Erica Gauthier has applied for a malt and wine at Novartis on October 20th from 4 to 5. Granted.
Okay.
Gabriel Cash, on behalf of Harvard College, has applied for malt and wine at Courier House on October 27th from 10 to 2 for a party with patrons dancing and recorded music, amplification system, and light show. I would grant with a police detail required and that the alcohol must be sold. I would usually say, or in the alternative, to have a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge. But noting that the admission charge is 3 and so nominal, I say that the alcohol must be sold.
I would concur with that.
Granted, that the alcohol must be sold condition and police detail required. Kalina Schlanger has applied for an entertainment license at MIT on November 4th and November 11th from 7 to 10 p.m. for a concert with live music. Granted. Andrea Campbell has applied for an entertainment license at the Kresge Auditorium at MIT on November 12th from 3 to 7. Granted. Andrea Campbell has applied for the entertainment license again. Nice of that last one. Should we have her twice? Or did someone miss putting it on the agenda? This is Andrea Campbell. Is that one Andrea
this
Campbell?
This is Kalina Schwanninger. This is Kalina Schwanninger.
Oh, because Kalina came in twice. Okay. So the Andrea Campbell one was granted. I read them together. They're together. The Kalina Schlanger are together on the agenda, but there's two applications. Got it. Michelle Carter from Divco West has applied for an entertainment license on October 19th from 5:30 to 10:30 for ground baking. Granted. Kathleen Carney, on behalf of Justice Stewart, has applied for an entertainment license at York Street on October 25th from 11 to 3.
Groundbreaking.
It says that it's City of Cambridge property, but Ms. Link got us information that it's in the parking lot behind the building.
It's at the site of the fire.
On private property. Okay.
It's what was formerly the church building that was the apartments that were destroyed on December 3rd.
Yeah, after discussion with Public Works, they decided to move it onto private property.
Yeah, no, the thing is because they said the owner of the location was the City of Cambridge, and then it said that it was close to the public, and I know that the City of Cambridge doesn't allow people to do close to the public events on city property, so that's why. But, okay.
I will actually be there.
So I will grant, and I will just put a note here that applicant clarified. And that event is in parking lot, which is private property. Granted. Jeanette Larson has applied for an entertainment license at the Royal Sonesta on December 9th from 6 to 11 for a casino night where there will be no exchange of money. Granted. Bill Manley, on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, has applied for an entertainment license on Palmer Street on October 20th from 6 to 10. Granted, I would actually amend the hours from 5 to 11 because I think I think they're going to need them for setup and takedown, and I don't want people to give them grief about it, particularly because the traffic and parking permit is from 5 to 11. I'd like to stay consistent and all permits be the same.
Okay.
So hours 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. Okay. Prakash Prashant has applied for an entertainment license at the Craigie Auditorium on October 22nd from 6 to 10 for a concert. Granted. Audrey Ricks has applied for an entertainment license at MIT on October 21st from 7 to 10. Granted. For recorded and amplified live music. Vanessa Boyle has applied for an entertainment license at the Student Organization Center at Hills on October 28th from 5:30 to 8. Granted. This is recorded music or live music. Latonya Smith Winston has applied for a vendor's license at MIT on October 20th and November 3rd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. to sell dresses and chops and jewelry. Granted. Catherine Griffiths, on behalf of Amigo School, has applied for a vendor's license on October 21st and 22nd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is a Cambridge School fundraiser, so the Cambridge City of Cambridge fee obviously is waived, granted. Coffee Shop LLC DBA Upper West has applied for a one-day license on October 31st, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. for 25 people in the outdoor fence lot adjacent to their property. So granted as a Chapter 138, Section 14 license, and because contiguous, no fee. Stefan Henry Rary has applied for an entertainment license for October 21st from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. for dancing, music, and amplification system. Granted with police detail required. And we have a few add-ons. Give Him Enough Rope, the automatic has applied to change their entertainment license. They want to remove one TV and add a turntable DJ equipment. Wait a minute. If they're adding a DJ equipment, does that mean that they have a DJ and they're zoned for it or anything like that?
That's a really good question.
Defer. You need more information on that. Or is this one of those that we're correcting that they were granted a DJ at the original hearing, but it didn't transfer to? Well, either way.
I would have to look that up.
Defer. It says here R, but it's Area 4 Operating, DBA Area 4. Has applied to change her entertainment license to add one TV. They have two.
For a total of two.
so that's wrong too. It says for a total of one. A total of two TVs granted to that one. Tara has applied for a one-day malt and wine license for October 21st. At the BU Boathouse from 11:30 to 9 p.m. This is a close to the public event. Granted. Racine has applied for a one-day Hawker Peddler on October 21st and 22nd at 536 Mass Ave from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Malika Critchlow has applied for a one-day Hawker for October 19th at MIT from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Granted. And we have some minutes to review.
September 13th and 20th.
I reviewed them and I will approve them.
Second.
Okay.
I can clarify the automatic if you'd like to.
Minutes approved. Ms. Boyer, do you have information for us on the automatic?
Yes, it's just turntables. There are no DJs. It's just one turntable. They just labeled it DJ equipment, but it's just one turntable to play a record when they walk by.
Ah.
That's what it is.
Okay, so back to
DJ.
So back to the request. Give them enough rope, the automatic, to add, to remove one TV and add one turntable. Granted?
Yes.
Granted. Thank you, Ms. Boyer. All right, that's it. Thank you. Oh, sorry. No, back on the record. We are giving a second call to Henry A. Cisco Jr. for a Cambridge Hackney driver's license, the second call being at
4:36,
and no show, so no action taken on that matter. Thank you. Now we're done.